Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome back to Money FM 89.3 and the start of the year, as you mentioned, a busy one, even in the commodity space. In a couple of hours, OPEC Plus will be kicking off their first ministerial meeting of the year, and many will be looking as to whether or not they will stay on course with regards to their gradual return of output to global markets. We're pleased to kick off the year with Mr. Dave Ernstberger, who's the head of commodities pricing and global insight at S&P Global Platts, to lay out his outlook and what he's expecting when OPEC and friends decides to meet again later on. Mr. Ernstberger, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe, had a good health during these times, and welcome back to the show, sir. Happy New Year, and I hope you're having a great morning out there in London.
Thank you, JP. It's always a pleasure to be on, and Happy New Year to you, too. All's well here.
As I mentioned a while ago, oil markets are wasting no time. OPEC and friends set to hold their meeting later today. Tell us, Dave, what are the key things you're looking out for?
Well, the OPEC Plus group needs to make a big decision. It's a slightly risky time for OPEC, particularly to affirmatively decide to bring more of this production back to the market, because as we start 2022, there are still some uncertainties out there about Omicron and COVID and how much effect it will really have on the global economy and demand as things play out. And seasonally speaking, JP, this is a time of year when demand is weak. So OPEC Plus is starting the year with a tricky decision. Do they bring this 400,000 barrels a day production back to market as part of their phased reintroduction of production back over time? Now, our view is that they will go ahead and give the nod to increasing production back to market. And actually, OPEC has done a great job and covered itself with quite a bit of credibility through its gradual restart of production, by giving an advance notice as to what it's likely to do. And just yesterday, OPEC gave the clear indication that it was minded to go ahead to bring this production back. Their conclusion is that Omicron hasn't had a massive effect on demand. It's been disruptive for sure. It's been an unwelcome surprise. But with much of the world vaccinated and this being a milder form of the virus, it seems like OPEC has taken stock of the situation. It feels like the scene is set for them to carry on with this reintroduction of production. So we expect them to go ahead and say, yes, they're going to bring this production back.
And, you know, we did see that crude had that rather topsy-turvy end to the year, as you mentioned, especially with the onset of Omicron. Futures did tumble in the first half of December, only for it to recover on those easing fears that you mentioned about the virus. Do you think the crude oil markets have somewhat inoculated themselves now from this latest COVID test?
Yeah, it seems like the crude oil markets are double or triple vaxxed against the effect of variants of the virus, and there's an important reason for that. I mean, much of the world's oil demand comes from countries that have put in place, one way or the other, fairly effective vaccination programs and or have built up resilience to the virus through, you know, what you might call natural immunity. And goodness knows, those of us that follow the commodity markets are not experts in health. But when we look at the stats and the data and we listen to the people who are experts in health, it seems like the countries that are most responsible for oil demand, the United States, China, much of Western Europe, that those regions which have an outsized impact on demand and a big impact on demand growth, they're coping better and better and better with these different variants, and so they seem on a track to continue to see demand rise. So the oil markets are largely inoculated because the biggest demand centers are largely robust right now. There's even a sense, JP, that maybe this wave of Omicron could be ushering in an era of endemic virus rather than pandemic virus, which means we all get on with living with this virus and we go about our day-to-day lives broadly unchanged as we see different variants over the next 12 to 24 months.
A lot of discussion still center on which direction the pandemic might actually go. But leading up to the first ministerial meeting of OPEC Plus, we do have to take note that the U.S. in the last couple of months has been fairly vocal in urging the major oil producers in OPEC to raise output in the hopes of taming prices. But with oil prices now looking at $80 a barrel, we've also seen that, and slowly but surely, more oil rigs coming back online stateside as well. Now, after spending years of trying to instill capital discipline, Dave, could this also be the year where shale oil roars back and chips away once again at OPEC Plus's restored dominance?
Well, this is definitely bubbling away in the background. You know, once OPEC and OPEC Plus have done their analysis of the demand situation, the next thing they look at is how likely U.S. production is to come back, because this is their big fear. And our expectation is that total U.S. liquids production, that's crude oil, condensates, different kinds of liquids that come to market, will probably grow by around a million barrels a day or so in 2022, which is a pretty big jump in U.S. production, even without extra stimulus coming to market, even without extra higher prices, let's call them. So there will be people who might wonder why OPEC would bring their production back at a time when there's a little bit of uncertainty out there. Well, the biggest reason is because if headline prices go much above $85 a barrel, we could see even more U.S. production coming back to market. And this is really OPEC's kind of worst nightmare, is that higher prices for longer erode that capital discipline you're talking about and actually set the scene for U.S. producers to more aggressively come back to market. Actually, we're seeing a pretty significant U.S. pipeline being commissioned from the Permian Basin to Houston this month. And that's the kind of thing that symbolizes the fact that U.S. infrastructure continues to grow, and there's more and more potential for surprises on the upside in U.S. supply if OPEC isn't careful about what it does here.
We're speaking to Dave Ernsberger, the global head for pricing at S&P Global Platts here in Money FM 89.3. Dave, when we talk about oil's rise, some analysts in the recent weeks have pointed at reduced capital investments over the last 8 years in oil and other fossil fuels that left producers unable to address some of these tighter supply conditions. Now, it's also happened against the backdrop of the COP26 summit a few months ago, when many countries started to pledge perhaps reduced investments in fossil fuels. A lot of banks and the finance institutions also coming under pressure from activist investors to reduce their investments in these particular spaces. Could the trend, though, towards reduced investment in crude oil infrastructure actually lead to even more volatility in energy markets and overall higher energy prices in an already elevated inflationary environment?
Well, one of the big stories of our long march and towards recovery from the pandemic has been disturbances in supply and demand fundamentals, and supply chains being put under great pressure and volatility. And that's because investment in bringing production and in ensuring supply in a whole range of commodities, everything from container shipping to iron ore and indeed oil, has been choppy and disrupted. And that's absolutely going to play out as we more and more commit to the energy transition envisaged by COP26. You know, there will come a time in our lifetimes when we're consuming more hydrogen, more ammonia, more alternative forms of fuel that are much, much cleaner and will help the world meet its important environmental targets. But that's going to take 10 to 20 years to play out. Now, what's on people's minds, as you rightly point out, is, well, who's investing in the current fuels that we use today in the meantime? And it's very clear that the global financial community investors are punishing companies with ambitious fossil fuel agendas because they don't meet the 10-year narrative, but that those companies do need to deliver on the 10-month narrative. And so we're set here, as this transition begins to happen, for some very volatile times and with risk to the upside in the price, because without new barrels coming to market in Nigeria, just to pick one example, we think production may have already peaked and will likely fall over the next 4 to 5 years, but Nigeria is a very important supplier of oil to the market. So without the investment coming in clearly, and without it being clear where that investment would come from, the risk is to the upside and towards volatility in general, because it's going to take longer to make this transition than the financial community is thinking about.
And so could these elevated price environments we're seeing for crude oil actually be coming in part not so much because of a returning demand, but also because of the somewhat handicapping, for lack of a better term, of some of these oil producers to meet these demand calls because of the fact that, hey, you know what, we really haven't been able to invest in our infrastructure as much in the last couple of years?
Well, this is a problem that we're making today, if you like. It's an interesting economic problem, but mm-hmm. it isn't yet playing out today, because as long as OPEC has extra production capacity to bring to market, as long as there's extra U.S. capacity to come to market, we aren't quite seeing the effect of the delayed investment happening now. But we are going to see that happening once OPEC has fulfilled its mission to bring its production back, once U.S. production has been tapped out. These other areas that have been underinvested in, whether it's West Africa, North Sea, Central Asia, we're going to start to see the pain from that playing out later in the cycle, maybe in a couple of years from now. Now, those high prices are actually critical to supercharging the transition. The transition to alternative forms of energy wouldn't come without higher fossil fuel prices. It's actually part of the transition. But we won't see it playing out maybe for another couple of years and until this extra capacity has been brought back to market.
All right. And finally, Dave, you know, we've talked about a number of possible risk factors for oil, crude oil markets in 2022. Are there other risks that you might be monitoring for this particular space?
I think the three biggest risks to be thoughtful about, besides what happened with coronavirus and health policy, are in the big demand centers of the world. So when you look at energy prices in general and oil prices specifically, we've talked a lot about demand-to-demand recovery, which means that alternative risks and the impact of them are disproportionately higher in the big demand centers. In China, we're keeping a close eye on the property crisis in Evergrande. It looks like that massive debt has been managed pretty effectively by the government so far, but don't underestimate the size of the challenge of managing the property market in China. And one wrong step there could send a massive chill through the markets. In the U.S., the source of the biggest oil demand in the world, of course, political stability is key. We started last year, 2021, with some pretty horrific scenes in Washington, D.C., and we're all going to be watching carefully at how stable or unstable U.S. politics are as we get underway this year. And then in Europe, the third big demand center of the world, of course, it's quite a lot happening around Ukraine right now and the potential for Russia to invade. And that would have a big impact on the stability of Western Europe and a knock-on effect on economic demand for all sorts of things, including oil. So we're keeping a close eye on big geopolitical narratives in these big three demand centers of China, the U.S., and Western Europe. Things are in a pretty stable holding pattern now, but we do all need to keep a close eye on those things.
All right. Dave Ernsberger, Head of Commodities Pricing and Global Insight at S&P Global Platts. Thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3 to share your outlook for oil markets in 2022 and ahead of OPEC Plus's first ministerial meeting later on. As always, Dave, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times. We look forward to next time you can join us on the show. Meanwhile, stay safe, and we hope you have a great week ahead of you out there in London.
Thanks, JP. Likewise.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.